Welcome, adventurer, to the Level Up Board Game Podcast, a show that uses your experiences and opinions to discuss board games and the gaming community. Join the heroes as they conquer perils such as meeples, cards, and miniatures, all in an effort to level up. You're listening to the Level Up Board Game Podcast.
Hey, welcome, adventurers. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to be going on our first ever side quest. Well, today, we're going to take a side quest, and we're going to take a look at the best ways to play and hopefully win at games of Terraforming Mars.
Solo mode specifically. Yeah, this is one that comes up a whole lot. How do I win at Terraforming Mars? Now, like you said, a side quest can be any number of things that don't fit into the regular episode, but this is one that, you know, we've played this a good bit, haven't we, Scott?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I find myself, whenever I'm sitting at my desk, I got a couple moments here. Let's open Terraforming Mars and play a game or two.
Supposed to be getting work done.
But yeah, ever since it came out, I remember picking it up at Origins when it came out, the actual board game. And since then, it's just been something that I have been just drawn to. The gaming of it, the math of it, everything about it, I've really, really had a great time playing. Once they came out with an app for it, it was like, hey, this is perfect.
The app came out, a little over a year ago, and I want to say I played this thing 10 times a day since. You can just bang out a game real quick. You don't have to actually move the little resources back and forth. So a lot of the management is taken out and you just play it. Holy smokes. I wish it kept a ticker of how many times I've played. You know what? I don't wish that it kept that because I'd probably be a little embarrassed by myself.
Yeah. I think that would really get a picture in someone's psyche if you saw exactly how much time you played. But it's good to have those little secrets.
So, Terraforming Mars, this is a game released in 2016. The designer, Jacob Verzelius, published originally by Stronghold Games. There are some different rules in the solo game compared with the multiplayer game. So even if you're familiar with multiplayer, you may take on solo and have some issues. Some cards that are fantastic multiplayer are not as good solo. It's just a different way that you play. So what are the criteria for solo mode? You get a corporation. You'll get your pick of 10 cards at the start of the game. The difference is your terraforming rating is going to start at 14 instead of 20, so you have significantly less money to work with. You're going to play the game for a set number of generations, 14 generations, and your goal, your objective by the end of the 14th is to have terraformed Mars completely. Not as easy as it sounds, and you really have to play smart to succeed at this. And the reason why we came up with this side quest is Scott messaged me. He said, hey, we have a lot of people in our solo board gaming group on Facebook asking about this regularly. Why don't we turn it into an episode? I said, yes, let's do it. I've played the hell out of it. Let's do it.
Yeah, the great thing about it is with all the different corporations you can choose, with all the different cards you can play, it's going to be a different game each and every time you play. So it's a good idea to get some basic ideas of what you need to do whenever you're playing the game to maximize your ability to win at the game playing solo.
How are we going to help you? First thing we did was we prepared several questions that I think that someone approaching the game for the first time or that has played a handful of times and is struggling with it might have in mind.
The first question that I feel that people would say is, what's your general strategy when you approach this as a solo game?
There is an importance to plant production and heat production. The goal of the game is to completely terraform Mars. You don't do that with titanium. You don't do that with steel. It's done by getting greeneries on the board and raising the temperature. So especially early in the game, you have to prioritize plant production and heat production. Now, I've read some people and even some articles that say you need to prioritize money. And money production is good. Obviously, raising your income is good. But anytime you raise the heat or add a greenery to the board, or an aquifer for that matter, you're essentially raising your income because your terraform rating, your TR, is going to go up. So let's break down some values of what heat production and plant production does for us. In a game of Terraforming Mars, you're going to have to use some simple math to play efficiently, and that efficiency is how you're going to win. 8 heat versus $14 to raise the temperature. What does that mean? It costs $14 to use the basic project to fire off an asteroid and raise the temperature once. Or it can cost you 8 heat that you've produced. This makes heat at 8 heat versus $14. This makes heat worth about $1.8 per unit of heat that you've produced. So if you can produce heat for $1, you're essentially saving 0.8 for every heat that's down. You follow me so far, Scott?
I'm still with you.
Excellent. Plants. Plants, on the other hand, are worth about $2.9 each. It costs $23 for a greenery or 8 plants. So 23 divided by 8 is 2.8 something. I said $2.9 each. So if you have a card that will raise your plant production by 2, that card is essentially saying that you're adding $5.8 every turn to your overall income. Because what's the money if not to produce more greeneries, to produce more temperature increases? A good way to evaluate cards when it's time to buy is to use that simple math and say, is this giving me value? And a way to determine that oftentimes is based on how many turns are left in the game. If a card costs 10 and it produces 1 heat, well, if you play that on turn 1, that's going to give you 14 heat for $10. You have a benefit, right?
Exactly.
If you're playing it on turn 10, it's going to produce 4 heat for the $10, which is less than the actual conversion, because we know heat's worth $1.8, right?
Yeah, and you'll see a card. It's worth 10 credits. You're going to make 3 heat. That's amazing. But you can only use it whenever you're over 0 degrees or whenever you're at 2% oxygen.
To your point, Scott, let's take a card like Trees. Trees, I believe, cost 13 credits. You had to buy it for 3 credits. So let's say that it costs 16 credits. Trees is going to raise your plant production by 3. I think it also gives you a couple plants on top of that. If you're playing Trees on turn 8, well, that's an awful lot of plants that you're going to get. You have 6 turns left. You're going to get 6 times 3. You're going to get 18 plants plus the initial 2. That gives you 20 plants. That's 2.5 greeneries. Do the math. That's $23 per greenery. That's a little over $50 for your investment of 16. But if you take Trees early on thinking, well, I need to raise the heat because I have to have at least -4 for my temperature, and you don't get it there until turn 11, the earlier you can play it, the more effective it's going to be. So you do have to factor in that some cards have those environmental requirements. How high does the oxygen level need to be? How high does the heat need to be before you can play it? And cards will increase and decrease in value based on the timing in the game. The earlier the better in just about every case.
Oh, yeah, it very much so. I mean, there's a number of cards that I look at and it's like, this is fantastic. But looking at it realistically, by the time that I'm going to be able to get that card out, it's really not worth the amount of credits I'm putting into it. So it's one of those things where you have to unfortunately say, nope, I'm going to pass on that card.
And this comes up a bit in the next question. Are some resources better than others?
What I normally like to do whenever I'm playing this, sometimes you need to get energy in order to pay for some of the cards. You need to use the ability to create energy to pay for some of them. That's about the only time that I'll actually use it, because you want to be able to get the heat as quickly as possible. If you have the ability to have a couple energy here and there, I mean, hey, it's nice to have that extra little bit to add into the heat. But you really don't want to depend wholly on the energy. The next thing you want to worry about is trees. Trees, a lot of times whenever I'm playing, I've got heat completely under control. And then I realize, hey, I got to get some trees in here as well.
Some plants, yeah. You got to get the plant production ramped up.
The plant production takes a little bit more care and watering, if you will, to make sure that you get it to produce as well as you can.
Well, I think you're onto something there with energy not being as important. I've always thought the best thing that energy can do is provide you with the GHG factories, the cards that'll let you convert -1 to your energy to get a different benefit. Energy's not terribly efficient. It's going to produce energy on the turn that it's producing, and then it staggers a turn before it converts to heat. So if I'm producing 5 energy on turn 7, It will become energy on turn 8. It won't become heat until turn 9. And generally speaking, not always, but most of the cards that produce energy, they're just not efficient. Remember, when I say efficient, I mean how much money are you saving? How quickly do they convert to heat in order to save you from firing off asteroids? Generally speaking, energy is expensive and tends to do too little too late. Steel has its uses, but it's not quite as useful as titanium. There's the two metals that you can produce. Steel's better in multiplayer because there's a lot of city cards that can be produced, and multiplayer wants to interact that way. In solo, you'll find a lot of the steel cards are going to produce energy, and we've already identified that a lot of those cards, and energy for that matter, is not terribly efficient. Now, titanium, on the other hand, it has good payoff cards, so producing it early can yield benefits, but you have to be able to actually do something with that titanium. You can have really fun games when you start with, say, three titanium production. You say, you know what, I'm gonna target the cards that are big payoff cards. I started the game with an early asteroid mining. I'm Saturn Systems, so I also have an additional titanium production there. Let's go. Generally speaking, though, there are games where you're going to finish the game and you're going to have 11 titanium or 6 titanium, some number of titanium going, ah, oh man, that was supposed to give me a free aquifer. I was supposed to find the convoy from Europa or one of the cards that will give me a payoff for this, and it didn't come. Or sometimes it comes too late. Maybe you have a lot of plant tags and you're targeting the nitrogen-rich asteroid, a card that just boosts your plant production by 4, gives you a heat production, a fantastic, gives you 2 TR on top of it. It costs 31, but it can be reduced by titanium. Sometimes there are games where your titanium is going to yield you a huge benefit, like a nearly free nitrogen-rich asteroid. Some games, though, it just doesn't happen. You've produced that titanium for nothing. That's fine, especially if you're shooting for a high score. But to win the game, yes, you can win by casting that nitrogen-rich asteroid, but you can also not find it. Let's focus on winning the game. Heat, absolutely important. Greeneries, though, I think greeneries, plants. I think plant production is paramount. It costs the most. Plants are worth, each plant is worth more than heat. It's a little more difficult to come by, and that's going to factor into what we identify as some of our favorite cards and some of what we feel are the best.
Next thing that you got to take in consideration whenever you're playing is you have to select what corporation you're going to play with. The corporations can give you all sorts of different things. They will give you strengths. Some of them will give you a little bit of pullback where they might give you
a little more challenge.
Yeah. More titanium and less credits to start out with. Ecoline, you need some heat. Hellion needs plants. So you're running in right away. Yeah, you've got the bonuses in one section, but you got to figure out how to make up what you're missing whenever you select that corporation.
You also have to factor in that they let you see your initial 10 cards that you have to choose from. So if my options are Foblog and, I don't know, we'll say Ecoline, and I look at my initial 10, Foblog starts with 10 titanium. And it has titanium producing it 4 per instead of 3 per titanium. So if I see some cards in that initial 10 that produce titanium, well, my titanium is better because I'm Foblog to begin with. Well, okay, Foblog's the selection here. On the other hand, if I see something that helps with my plant production, I can decide I'm going to take an approach of just firing off greeneries early, get that out of the way. Like, to your point, sometimes heat can run on autopilot with a corporation like Ecoline. Sometimes the greeneries can run on autopilot.
If I can get something that will help me out with my plants at the beginning, I'm so used to heat going on autopilot. You be able to get your plants going, that is a remarkable feeling, let me tell you.
That'll also open up an avenue for if your initial 10 cards have something that requires the oxygen to be at 2, 3, 4%, well, you can get there much, much faster than some of the other corporations can. So it is very important whenever you're selecting your corporation. They all have their benefits. Some are much better than others. Some are not very good. I'll say it right now. UNMI and Interplanetary Cinematics, I think, are the two weakest by far because they don't get special plays off the cards that they see in the solo mode quite as well as the other corporations. But the important thing with your initial two when you're selecting is look at the 10 cards that you have to work with and see what synergizes with the corporation that you can select.
If there was a subtitle for Terraforming Mars, it is Synergy. You really want to be able to get the cards and build that engine to be able to do as much as you can, as quickly as you can.
So one mistake that I see newer players, and myself, in fact, whenever I was still learning the solo mode and getting the hang of things, was every card seemed good. Now, there were some obvious standouts that were like, okay, this thing is not going to right to the bench with you. But I would look at, we'll say, my opening 10, and I wanted 8 of them. Or every turn I have the option of 4 different cards, and I want 3 of them. Solo mode, you do have to be very picky choosy about what cards you're going to take, because you need that benefit immediately. You need things to pay off right away. You have to be efficient in your plays. You can't spend $3 now to plan for something 8 turns later. Well, you can, but you can't do that with 4 different cards, 5 different cards. You can't keep buying cards with a plan. You need to have a this turn plan and maybe a next turn plan. The issue that comes up is if you're buying 3 cards that you're not going to be using this turn, that's 9 credits. You're spending 9 credits to acquire those cards. Let's suppose that you started the turn with 25. It's turn 5 or 6. You have 25 credits and you spent 9 of them. That bumps you down to 16. You can't play a greenery. You can't play an aquifer. What if you could have played the aquifer and gotten a bonus 2 plants, which would have converted into a greenery? That's 2 terraforms, which is $2 that you would have earned for turn 6 that now you're not going to be earning until at least turn 7, because you spent your credits buying 3 cards that you're hoping to play in the near future, but in turn you're pushing them off. Oftentimes when you see multiple cards that you want, you have to make a tough decision, which is the one, maybe 2, that I can actually play and get immediate benefit from while still being able to carry out my turn.
Yeah, I look at it especially whenever you're first starting off, the first turn, you're looking at those 10 cards. Say you're starting off with Ecoline. We've been talking about Ecoline. You start off with 36 credits. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have 10 cards. If you take all 10 of them, there's 30 credits right there that are gone. So you're starting at a massive, massive deficit right from the very start. Because your next turn, you're going to have whatever balance is left over added onto your terraforming rating, which starts out at 14. So you may start the next turn at 20 credits. You do have options, but you don't have the options you would have if you were being a bit more selective at the beginning. You need to really look at it in a realistic fashion. Am I going to actually get this card out there? Is it going to help me now? If I pass it up now, is it going to hurt my end game? You really need to take a lot of these questions into hand here whenever you're starting off with your initial 10-card selection.
So much of the solo mode is about cards. We keep saying, cards, 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 cards. We took the opportunity to prepare our list of our favorite slash best solo cards. Now, we initially, Scott, we talked about doing this dice tower style where we compare our lists and, my number 8 is higher on Scott's list. We're not going to do that. I think what we're going to do is, how about you go down your list, comment on it, I'll provide some feedback on it, and then I'll go down my list. And if we have some crossover, so be it. That, for a listener, that means, well, the card must be good. It's on both of their lists.
Okay, that sounds like a plus here.
Listen up, adventurers. When we discussed what we wanted Level Up to be all about, we really felt that including the community should be our priority. So I want to take a moment to invite you to voice your opinion on the show. Here's how you do it. Our website is levelupgamepodcast.com. Go there, click Join the Adventure, then just follow the instructions from there. Want to share what you've been playing lately? Want to give your feedback on some of the things that we've said on the show? How about providing your thoughts on an upcoming review? Well, that's where you go to do it. Again, levelupgamepodcast.com and click Join the Adventurer. We thank you so much for listening, but we encourage all adventurers to take that next step and join us on the show and level up.
Now, mine, I didn't really have in any particular order, but I think that they're all really good cards to have. Big Asteroid. It costs 27 credits. It gives you 2 heat and 4 titanium. So you're looking at 12 credits you're going to get out of throwing a big asteroid at Mars. In the two heat.
Two temperature increases.
Yes, two temperature increases. I'm sorry. And once again, if you have the titanium beforehand, that will help you pay for that card as well.
Good card.
There's nothing like whenever you have that titanium production and you can throw that asteroid at Mars for like 6 credits. That's amazing. Black polar dust. It will cost you 15 credits, but it will subtract 2 credit production from you, give you 3 heat production, and 1 aquifer. The problem here is that you need to prepare that you have extra credit production before you play that, or else, once again, you're going at a deficit. You're putting yourself into a deficit, maxing out your parents' credit card whenever you're in college in order to create 3 heat production and 1 aquifer. If you can have, say, 4 credit production before you actually play that, it's nice to give you that little buffer zone. So Black Polar Dust, another one that I love.
I like Black Polar Dust, and I'll disagree with you on this one. I don't see anything wrong with the -2 on the credits. The reason being, the 3 heat production outweighs it. If the card costs 15 and you had to spend 3 to get it, so it costs 18, that's the same as an aquifer. So you're at a wash, basically. So what the card essentially is going to do is 3 heat for the -2 credit production. If we break down our math and say, well, heat is worth 1.8 per unit, 1.9. Yeah, I think it was 1.8 that it came to. I'm getting about 5.5 credits for my -2. And in turn, I'm going to be able to increase my terraform rating that much faster, thus getting more income that much quicker. This is a fine card. I think it's very efficient. Good selection.
Deimos Down. Now, this is an expensive one. Playing solo, it's great being able to get the 3 heat production and the 4 steel, even though it's
The 3 temperature raises.
I'm sorry, 3 temperature raises. But still, every now and then, having that steel whenever a card comes up that would require it, it's not bad to have some of that in your pocket whenever you need it.
It sounds like you play a lot of solo games where you're trying to crank out titanium. I'm looking at the list, and there are definitely some fantastic cards that work very well with titanium, and Deimos Down is one of them.
If you get this out, whenever you're raising the temperature on Mars, there are 2 areas, I can't think of the exact number, I don't have a board.
Negative
in front
24
of me.
And negative 20.
Thank you. If you hit that at the right point and you hit that 3 heat production, you're also adding in 2 heat production.
Because of those 2 spots. Yeah, your 3rd and your 5th increase in the temperature will add 1 heat production. So say that you've done 2 temperature increases and suddenly Deimos Down is an option. It's amongst the cards that you can pick from. It'll take you from negative 26 to negative 24, 22, 20, and it'll give you those +2 bumps.
If you play that at the right time, that is a huge card to have.
All right, 3 cards in. What's the 4th one?
Now, this is one we kind of laughed about because we aren't sure if it sounds dirty or not, is the Mohole area.
The Mohole area. I actually had to look up to make sure that it was Mohole. Yes, a Mohole.
Yeah, this will cost you 20 credits. It will give you 4 heat production, plus you get to place a tile on one of the ocean tiles. If you play it on one and you're at the point where you have 6 plants, you play it on one to give you 2 more plants. Not only are you getting the heat production, you're plus also getting another 4 that you get to put on the planet as well. That will help you increase your oxygen supply. So that's
it also gives
nice
you a little there. Flexibility in your placement, where if you're playing your greeneries and you plan on playing your cities on the top half of the map. And when I say the top half, the map, for those of you that have played are well aware, there's the ocean spaces going right through the middle all the way over to the eastern portion of the board. If you're playing in, say, the middle of the board on the top half where those aquifers are all bunched together, you can't get to the bottom half because your greeneries have to be adjacent to either a city or any other tile, like the mining area, for example. Rather than having to build a city in the southern portion of the board, you can play a Mohole area on one of those middle aquifer portions, and now you're able to place your greeneries on the bottom half. Well, what's so good about that? Obviously, you want to play your greeneries next to oceans to get that little extra money. This is a card that will give you some flexibility in where you're playing your cards, along with being very efficient. 4 heat production on Mohole area. I'll talk more about that when I get to my 10.
Now then, the aquifer pumping. Normally, whenever you're playing an aquifer, it's going to cost you 18 to play an ocean. Mm-hmm. If you get this into play, it's only going to cost you 8 to place an ocean. And then also, I believe that it plays off of the steel.
It does. You're allowed to reduce the cost of the aquifer pumping or the actual act of pumping. Whenever you pay 8, you can reduce that 8 with steel as well.
Yeah, if you have steel production in play and you're able to put an ocean on the planet for, say, 4 credits, I mean, that is a huge win. That's a savings of 14 credits right there whenever you're playing. And that's throwing another asteroid and raising your heat another level.
When I said steel is not as important, this is one of the payoff cards for steel. If you are able to produce 2 steel a turn, that's 4 credits. To your point, you get to reduce this over and over. There are a few cards that if you see them, suddenly steel production does become good. This is one of them. Our card before this, Mohol Area, was another one. If you have steel production leading into the Mohol Area, that is one of the payoff cards. I'll talk more about aquifer pumping as well.
Oh, but yeah, number 6 is Soleta. It's a little bit lower because it is so expensive. You need to be able to get that in your hand early. And once again, there's no set way of how you can pick and choose what cards you have in your hand. It's down to complete luck. 7 heat production per turn. That is huge. Being able to take the heat production off of your mind and work on everything else, that's a huge benefit.
Soleta is a very efficient card. It costs 35 plus 3, so you're going to spend 38 on Soleta. Let's assume that you don't reduce its cost via any titanium. It's going to produce 7 heat, so at identifying heat as 1.8 per, this is going to give you about 11 credits worth of heat per turn, 11 or 12. When is the latest that you can play it and still have some efficiency? You could play this all the way up to turn 10, and you're still going to get 4 turns of 7 heat production, which is 28 heat that you're going to have produced. That's 3.5. Well, yeah, it's 3.5 asteroids. That's about $47 worth of heat, and you invested 38 in it. So you're still at a net positive. Playing Soleta as late as turn 10. Obviously, much, much better the earlier you play it. You can save a ton of money. If you manage to play Soleta on turn 1, throughout the game, you're going to have 14 times that thing kicks off. What is it? Math, Scott. 14 times 7. What, 98?
It's 70. Yeah, 98.
Okay, so 98. Now, 98 divided by 8 is 12?
Yes.
Okay, so that's 12 times.
Something, something.
So that's 12 asteroids that you're going to be able to fire off. Asteroids cost $14 each. So 12 times 14 is what, like 160?
168.
Now, if we were good at this, if we knew what we were doing, having a little podcast, we would have done this math ahead of time. But it is what it is. You get the point. We're looking at 150 credits worth of asteroids that you're firing off for $38. You're saving over 100 credits. When you play Soleta on turn 1. So you don't get much more bang for your buck than that. So fantastic card, Soleta at number, well, you said no particular order. So let's hear, what's your 7th?
That one is Mars University. This is one that'll help you cycle through cards. It costs you 8 plus the 3 originally to buy it, so 11. Every time that you play a science card, you get to discard another card and draw a new card into your hand. So it's a great way of, if you have those cards, do you realize you're not going to be able to play, to get rid of them, get something in there back in that you could be useful.
Well, Mars University does not make my list, Scott. I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I will play it. I think with the Mining Guild, they have such an excess of steel production that it's basically a free card. The card is worth a point, so it has that going for it. If you have the steel production with, for example, Mining Guild, like I said, it's virtually a free card that it lets you cycle, depending. typically, if you're playing well and you're playing efficiently, you shouldn't have excess cards in your hand. They should just be, we'll say, ancillary. They come from their, one of the ocean spots gives you two draws. Some of the cards that you play might give you an extra draw. But ideally, you don't have cards in your hand that you don't intend on using now or very soon, or it's part of your late game, part of your longer-term strategy. It does have a science tag. If I have a card like AI Central in my opening 10 and I want to target science, suppose that I start the game with Inventrix or just happen to see three science cards in the opening 10 and I take them because one of them is AI Central. AI Central is a card that will every turn basically let you draw two additional cards. Fantastic card. It can be tricky to get out, though, because of the three science tags. Mars University, while being a narrow card, does have its uses, and it has that science tag. So while I don't think it's a bad card per se, I'm not putting it anywhere near my 10 best. But well, I digress. You're quite good at the game as well.
Next one I have is Advanced Alloys. Now, this one costs 9 and 3 for buying it, so 12. It will increase your steel and increase your titanium by 1 credit. So steel counts as 3 credits instead of 2, and titanium counts as 4 credits instead of 3.
I have nothing wrong with Advanced Alloys. I think it's slightly narrow. A lot of lists, I did some research before going into this, and a lot of lists online do indeed put Advanced Alloys in their top 10, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you have a corporation that starts with or in their opening 10 cards sees some production of steel or titanium, it's easy to determine whether or not you're going to get some benefit off of this card. When I look at Advanced Alloys, I find a card that's very easy to evaluate based on the game state. What I mean by that is if it's turn 5 and you have a couple of those really big payoff titanium cards in your hand, that's your late game. I took a Deimos down and I took a giant ice asteroid and I have some titanium production, so I know I'm going to use them. You can look at Advanced Alloys and say, okay, this card costs 12 and I am producing 3 titanium a turn. The increase in 1 per titanium means, quite simply, that you need to use 12 titanium this game. So 12 times you got a little bump of 1 credit. That pays for the original cost of 12 credits.
Now, this one here is another one that I probably bet is not on your list, but and that is Robotic Workforce. Costs you 9, 3 to buy it originally. And what we'll do is allows you to copy a steel tag card that you already have in play. Sometimes that could help you increase your credit production. It could help you with your steel production if you're going that route.
It's a fine card.
My last one that I have here, this is another expensive one. That is a Beam from a Thorium Asteroid. This one will cost you 32 plus the original 3 to buy it, so 35. It will increase your heat production by 3, increase your energy production by 3, give you 1 victory point.
Well, if you like Stiletta, then there's nothing wrong with Beam from the Thorium Asteroid. It's similar as far as the cost and the payoff. The requirement of a Jovian tag can be a real problem for some of the corporations. But if you're starting with, say, Saturn Systems, this is one of their best targets early. In fact, if I was Saturn Systems and I, in the opening 10, have the option between the Beam and Deimos down. Beam, and Stiletta. Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm Saturn Systems, I might go for both.
Yeah.
But I think the Beam actually would win out there. Good card.
Yeah. So that is my 10 there that I truly enjoyed. I try and get out to play if they have in there. Now then, you heard my 10. Pat, what do you have for your list?
Well, let's go over, just to recap, we have Scott's 10, Big Asteroid, Black Polar Dust, Deimos Down, Mohol Area, Aquifer Pumping, Stiletta, Mars University, Advanced Alloys, Robotic Workforce, and Beam from a Thorium Asteroid.
That sounds like it ought to be like a 1960s sci-fi novel or something. Yeah, and on a different note, I'm just like watching this and thinking about throwing asteroids. I'm big into watching The Expanse. New episodes on today, and they're all going on about this guy throwing asteroids at Earth right now. So,
my wife and I tried. I was like, I keep hearing things about The Expanse. I want to try it. And we made it 3 in, and it just wasn't for us.
I was the same way going through that. But once you get past that, past maybe 4, mm-hmm. Man, I have not been able to stop watching that show at all. I adore this show.
We've been stuck on, well, we just did season 3 of Cobra Kai. Have you watched any of Cobra Kai?
No, I haven't.
It's kind of corny, and they do a little bit of fan service, like nostalgia plays, but we're having fun with that. We actually watched the third season in like 3 days, and then have you seen Peaky Blinders?
I haven't. My wife started watching it, but I haven't watched it, no.
Oh, I like Peaky Blinders. That one's been fantastic. Well, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. So we'll snap and we'll get back into our mindset.
Sure.
All right, Pat. So I've given you my 10. What do you say about your 10 now?
All right. For my top 10, just to prerequisite what I put down, I do want to point out that cards' values are going to fluctuate based on when you find them from the deck. So take a card like the Electric Catapult. It's going to give you a lot of value early, turning steel into 7 credits, especially with someone like the Mining Guild. But later on in the game, for its cost, is not going to yield you quite as much. Also, Jovian tags are going to be more valuable for Saturn systems, and an early space card is going to be better for Phoblog. Every card's value is going to increase or decrease given certain variables, but the most constant one is later in the game, a lot of cards lose value. We'll take something like GHG Factories. It costs 11, minus 1 to your energy production, plus 4 to your heat production. This is a fantastic card for what it costs and the amount of value, free asteroids that you get out of it when you play it early. It's a fantastic card. Obviously, playing it on turn 11, it's not going to be very good. Whereas a card that normally is not very good, like Open City, it's just a city that you can play with reduced steel. Obviously, it has the minus the energy and the plus to your credit production. That's neither here nor there. You're not going to play a card like Open City on turn 3. But on turn 12, when you're looking at your 4 cards for that turn, suddenly that has infinitely more value than most of the things that I put in my list. But as the goal of the game is to terraform Mars, the heat production and the plant production are paramount. So bear that in mind as I go over these 10. I tried to pick cards that are good early on as well as later on. They don't have quite a big a drop-off in value as you start approaching turns 7, 8, 9, and 10. Okay?
Okay.
All right, number 10. And these are in numbers. I did go from 10 down. Number 10, this spot had like 10 cards competing for it, but I chose Insects. As the bang for the buck card, as it's capable of producing an absurd number of plants. Insects is a microbe tag, and it reads, for every plant tag that you have played so far, increase your plant production by 1. This obviously is going to vary. Sometimes it'll be 0, sometimes it can be 7. It just depends. But what I like about Insects is that even played on turn 7, it's say a plus 4. By the end of the game, it's going to give you 2.5 greeneries on its own. It also has the potential to be higher based on your production. If you target it early, it even makes some other cards gain value. A card like Noctis Farming is not terribly efficient, but if it's going to add 1 when I play my Insects, that's not bad. This is a card that if I see in the opening 10, I get a little excited. I want to play it. If I don't see it in the opening 10 and I just happen to have 4 plant production on a turn that it makes sense to take Insects, oh my goodness, what a payoff card. Insects is my number 10.
Yeah, that's one that I didn't really take into consideration till later on in my playing here. And yeah, you get that out there and you get that extra 4 plant production. That is incredible. Really, really like that card.
Number 9, I picked Nitrophilic Moss. Now, you're going to notice a trend with my 10 is it's generally going to be cards that are going to save you credits. And Nitrophilic Moss does just that. This is a card that costs 8. It is plant tagged. It says lose 2 plants that you've already produced and then increase your plant production by 2. You have to have 3 oceans out in order, 3 aquifers rather, to play Nitrophilic Moss. So let's assume that you play this on turn 3. That's 22 plants that you're going to get out of it. That's almost 3 greeneries. That's worth a little over $60, and it costs you 11. What's cool about Nitrophilic Moss is even if you're not playing it until turn 9, you're still getting benefit. You're going to get 5 turns of 2 plant production each. It's going to give you 10 minus 2 for Nitrophilic Moss's ability. You're still getting a greenery for your $11 that late in the game. Very versatile, very strong. My number 9 is Nitrophilic Moss. Number 8 is Ice Asteroid. This costs 23. It is space tag, so you can reduce it with titanium. Pretty generic. All it does is adds 2 aquifers, but it is basically always good. As long as you still need 2 aquifers, it's good. You're saving money. 2 aquifers should cost you 36. This costs you 26. It only saves you 10 bucks, but there's rarely a time where it's in the cards that I can select and I don't. As long as I still need 2 aquifers, I'm taking it. Number 7, I picked Arctic Algae. This is another one that I put on the list because even after you have 4 aquifers down and there's only 5 more that will be produced, well, that's okay. You're still going to get 10 plus the initial one. You're still going to get 11 plants for your initial investment of $16. That's a deal.
Yeah.
Designed microorganisms. This one costs 16 and it yields 2 plants a turn. It bumps your plant production by 2. I think its heat max is negative 14 or 16. It's somewhere right in the teens. It's just an efficient card. If you buy it for 16 plus 3, you're $19 into the card. Played turn 1, you're going to get 3.5 greeneries out of that production. That's about $80 worth of production for your initial investment of 19. Even if you play it on turn 6, you're still going to yield 2 greeneries. So again, game is all about efficiency. This is a card that for at least the first half of the game is going to be remarkably efficient, save you a lot of credits. Design microorganisms.
Yeah, that is a max of negative 14 degrees Celsius. And yes, that is the card that has bit me in the butt more times than you can count.
I have raised my heat. I just start the turn, raise the heat. And then I look at my hand. I'm like, oh.
Yes.
I've learned to look at the hand thing before anything else.
Okay, so what do you got for next one?
Number 5, I put Giant Ice Asteroid. Now, I learned listening to your list, you like shiny things, Scott. You like the big, expensive, you're not a cheap date.
No, I'm not.
This card's going to give you 2 aquifers and 2 heat bumps for 36 plus your 3 to buy it. So you're $39 in for a Giant Ice Asteroid. Yes, it is a space tag, so if you have titanium production, you can make it cheaper. Never mind that. Even if you don't have the titanium production, it's $36. That's what the 2 aquifers would have cost anyway. You're saving 25 bucks every time you play this card. It's good on turn 1. It's good on turn 9. Giant Ice Asteroid, a pretty simple number 5.
Not much to say there. Yeah, like you said, very simple, very straightforward.
Number 4, we have some crossover. I put the Mohole area.
There we go.
We already went into detail. Played on turn 1. This yields 7 temperature increases, which is worth $98. Still gives you 3.5 temperature increases when played on turn 7. So a lot of versatility. You can get it early. You can get it mid-game. And it's still going to pay for itself. Never mind the other benefits that we discussed, like placement benefits. Mohole area, number 4.
Good choice.
Number 3 is Kelp Farming. Kelp Farming costs 17 bucks. It's going to give you 2 plants. It's going to raise your plant production by 3. And it's worth a point on top of that. This is one of my favorite cards in the game. Even if you play it on the second to last turn, you play this on turn 13, it's still going to give you 7 plants and a point. So we know that a greenery costs 23. This is almost a greenery, so let's say that makes it worth 20 and a half points, or 20 and a half credits, rather. Well, that's fine. You only paid 20 to get it. 17 for the card plus the 3, and it gave you a point. Now, never mind our next-to-last turn example. What if you played this on turn 7, which is pretty standard for kelp farming? It does require that you have 6 aquifers down in order to be played, so it's one that will very rarely come down before, say, turn 5. If you played on turn 7, you're going to get 19 plants out of this card. That's 2.5 greeneries. That's over 50 credits, and over 50 credits that you don't have to pay. You got it for just your initial investment of 19, and you got a point out of it. So number 3, kelp farming. Number 2, we have crossover again. That's aquifer pumping. Essentially, if you're playing at turn 1, it's 82 bucks for all of your aquifers. Don't forget, you only need to make 8 aquifers in a game. The 9th one should every time and always be from the heat increases. The free aquifer that you get whenever you bring the heat to 0, never, ever, I'm sure there's a rare case, but never, ever actually pay money for your 9th aquifer. Aquifer pumping takes the overall cost for your 8 aquifers from $144 down to $82. I keep switching from dollars and credits. Aquifer pumping takes your overall amount paid for those 8 aquifers from 144 credits all the way down to 82 credits. That is a 62 credit savings. Even if you already have 4 aquifers, 5 aquifers down, you're still saving money. Factor in that steel production makes it that much cheaper. Fantastic card. Aquifer pumping, my number 2.
Great, great choice there. Now, we had to come to it. What is your number 1?
Number 1, and this, Scott, should have been on your list. This is the best card in the game, be it in solo, be it in multiplayer. Standard Technology. This costs just $6. It is science tagged, and it reads, all of your standard projects are 3 credits cheaper. So, never mind what turn we get it. We don't even have to go that route. We're going to end up spending $9 to get this thing into play. Therefore, in order to get $9 back, we have to use 3 of those standard projects. We'll say an aquifer, an asteroid, and a greenery. Haha. So we spent 9. Now we just save 9. Every standard project after the third, you're going to save $3. Well, how good is that? Well, it's going to depend on the course of your game. It's going to depend on how many standard projects you have to fire off. And I find that the average game, it's somewhere between 10 and 20. And typically, you're not doing standard projects early, aside from maybe an aquifer or two. Typically, you're raising, you're increasing your production levels. So by the time you have some money, you can use your standard technology, and then you start firing off your 12, 13 standard projects that you need just to close out the game. Let's take the smallest number. We'll say 10. You're going to fire off 10 standard projects while the standard technology is in play. That's 30 credits saved for your initial investment of $9. Some games, you're going to use a lot more standard projects. Something else happens with a card like Standard Technology, Scott. This game, a lot of the game is timing. If you have, say, $20 and a card in your hand that costs 4, you can play an aquifer next to an aquifer. It cost you 18, took you down to 2, but you put it next to an aquifer. So now you have $4. You can still play moss or whatever card in your hand that costs 4 that you wanted to play is. So there's an order of operations. Do this first to get the money kick to do that next. Standard Technology opens up a lot of those avenues to a wider degree. If you take our same scenario, you have 20 credits. You can play an aquifer, put it next to an aquifer. Instead of having $4 left over, you have $7 left over. What this does, it takes a situation where if you wanted to fire off 3 asteroids, you would need 42 credits. Now you need significantly less credits, but also you get your money back quicker, which means you get to use it quicker, which ideally means you get to ramp up your production or your TR, your terraform rating, quicker. Standard Technology, I think, is the best card you can find in the solo mode. The number 1 card, Standard Technology.
I feel ashamed that I didn't even come up with that and put that on my list. I think it's because whenever I'm playing, I don't know what it is. If the deck is against me, I never really see that card in my list whenever they come up. And it's something I think I was looking for more bang for the buck as far as what I was going to be doing, as far as, like you said, the shiny things. That was the big thing I was going for. But yeah, Standard Technology, I cannot disagree with anything you said there. Great, great card is your number 1 card. So if I can, let's go over your top 10 once again here.
Okay.
Number 10, we had Insects. Number 9, Neutrophilic Moss. Number 8 was Ice Asteroids. 7, Arctic Algae. 6, Designed Microorganisms. 5, Giant Ice Asteroid. 4, Molehole Area. 3, Kelp Farming. 2, Aquifer Pumping. And number 1 was the Standard Technology.
Well, adventurers, we had a little bit of extra time, so we decided to put together just a quick list of some of our favorite corporations and why. Do you want to kick us off, Scott?
Okay. This one here, I mean, is like you won the shopping giveaway at Toys R Us whenever you're a kid. Terractor, you get 60 credits to begin with. Boom, you got a big bank account. You can play any Earth cards at 3 less. A lot of the Earth cards will help you with your credits production. give you more money as you
go on there. Oh, yeah, the sponsors, the acquired company.
Exactly.
Those are both Earth tags. So if you have an opening 10 with either of those, yeah, you can ramp up the production real quick.
Yeah, so having extra money in your pocket, always a good thing.
Tractor also has a couple target cards. There's like the Earth Office makes every Earth card 3 cheaper. Mm-hmm. So if that's in your opening 10, you could just play a game where all of your Earth cards are -6.
Yeah.
And Cartel, it's +1 to your credit production for every Earth tag that you've played.
Right.
You said it's like the shopping spree. All right. I put Saturn Systems. Saturn Systems might be my favorite one to play with. They're Jovian tagged, and they give you a titanium production. I don't think it's the best corporation, but if you can start with the mining industries or if you can start with the water imports, something that's going to give you points for every Jovian tag. Saturn Systems lets you play a game where I'm going to target Jovian tags and then target the cards that give me victory points per Jovian tag. And I've had games where I've ended with 8 and 9 Jovian tags with 2 or 3 of those cards, like the Ganymede Colony, 2 or 3 of the payoff cards. You can't produce a city, or rarely can, because you don't have any money left for it. But it can be a lot of fun to play with Saturn Systems and ramp up your money that way. If early on you find titanium production, well, then you get to be King Scott and love the fancier things and start playing cards like Saleta and the Beam from the Thorium Master. You get to play some really big cards. Makes for a fun game.
Now, next one I have here is, I would think that you would find this one fun as well, too, Ecoline.
I put them down as one of the best.
36 credits to start off with. 2 plant production, and with us discussing it, you know how important plant production is.
Yep.
It gives you 3 plants to begin with, plus then also trees cost 7 and not 8 plants to be as well.
Yeah, you get your greeneries down quicker.
I mean, you're off to a great, great start there. If you can get the plant production started and on autopilot early on instead of heat, you have a lot more options to play with in order to get that out there. Plant production is much tougher, I feel.
Yeah, I think plant production tends to be a little bit tougher to come by. So if you're Ecoline, you start with some plant production. It only takes a card or two to get your plant production to a point where you are going to get plenty of free greeneries throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
If you can be Ecoline and find a card in the opening 10, like the Mohol area, if you can find Saleta early on, you can kind of put both of your vital production, the 2 that you need, the plants and the heat, on autopilot early and sort of play around with the things that you draw because you've already got your ducks in a row as far as what you need to do. Excellent corporation, Ecoline.
Okay. What do you have for your next one?
Well, you identified 2 of the best ones. I'll include another one that I think is one of the best is Helion. Helion lets you use your heat as credits if you so choose, and it starts with 3 heat production. Now, I'm at a point now where this is going to sound pompous, but I win more often than I lose. I play the game for high score, so if I lose now, I feel like it's because I pursued a strategy. I'm at a point where I know how to win this game. Helion is one that holds your hand a little bit, especially if you find big heat production early. That 3 heat production, that's no joke. And given that on the -24 and the -20 spots on the temperature track, given that you're going to get +2 more heat, your heat, you don't have to do a whole lot to get it on autopilot. Some of the, we'll say, less efficient cards that produce energy suddenly actually gain some value with Helion. Man, if you can produce plants, if you find design microorganisms, nitrophilic moss, kelp farming, some of those cards that I'd mentioned, Helion, just much like Ecoline, but it's on the heat side. It takes care of one of the tracks for you, so you only have to focus on half the game. You'll still need to buffer your heat a little here and there, still take the efficient cards, but it doesn't require that you have to address both heat and plants.
The 3 heat production starting out of the gates, great, great way to start.
All right, Scott, we'll give you 1 more.
Okay. Now, this one here, we're going to go back to the whole thing of Scott likes shiny things. So we're going to go with Foblog. Get 23 credits, not a lot in the bank account to start off with, 10 titanium, but the titanium counts as 4 instead of 3. Now, with the way I like to play, with throwing big asteroids at things and a lot of the space cards, titanium is huge. being able to use it for 4 instead of 3 credits, that's a big thing. You throw in your advanced alloys, you get a +1 on that as well. Now, once again, you are kind of putting yourself behind the eight ball a little bit with such a low credit count to begin with. But whenever I play with that and I end up winning, I mean, that's it's a good feeling.
It is a very fun corporation to play. I actually find them a bit more challenging than the others because you don't get that heat production right off the bat. You don't get the plant production right off the bat. What it does do, though, is in your opening 10, if you find the mining industries, the Vestas shipyard, ways to produce titanium that you can count on, you basically know that for the entire game, any of those giant Jovian or Space Tag cards you get to play, that makes for a really fun play.
Yeah, in other terms, it's those times whenever you hit the straightaway and you hit every green light in the road. So,
yeah, very good, very good.
Okay, so what do you have your top one that you like to play?
One of the most fun, the Mining Guild. The Mining Guild starts with 30 credits. They start with 1 steel production and 5 steel sitting to be used. But their rule is anytime that you place a tile on somewhere that has steel or titanium as a benefit for placing there, you also gain a steel production on top of it. So you can start the game going aquifer on the south portion of the board on the 2 titanium slot, bump up your steel. Then turn 2 aquifer on the northern spot with the 2 steel listed there, bump up your steel. You can find cards like lava flows, like natural preserve, like nuclear zone, things that will let you put a tile anywhere. And there are spaces with other steel spots, other titanium spots where you get to up your production. They're just a lot of fun to play. It's not uncommon that by the end of turn 3, you have 5 or 6 steel production. And anything steel that comes up, well, you know you're going to play it. You're able to. Things that will produce energy and then the cities that can convert off that. It's not always a winning strategy because the payoffs don't involve heat production and plant production. You know, steel's not going to... It's very hard to get anything plant from steel. But I think it's a lot of fun to play with them.
I agree. A lot of times I do like to sit down and just try and get the highest score I can. But there are those times that you're just like I said, do the David Frost route and go the route that you aren't expecting and just try and make something out of it.
Well, adventurers, I hope that this helps you. If you're having some issues with Terraforming Mars solo, if you find that you're just falling short or you're not sure what the best way to approach the game is, I hope that between Scott and I, we gave you a little bit of insight as to the ways that we approach it and how we win at the game. We do want to hear from you. Do you think that something's off? Do you think maybe we missed the buck?
Yeah, that's what's important here. We want to hear from you. It's not just us two talking about games all the time. That's where you come in. So we really hope that we hear from you guys.
Well, Scott, this has been a fun side quest. I could do this again. Any ideas for what the next one will be?
Oh, I don't know right now. I mean, I got to sit down and like start looking at your cards here and play a couple games of Terraforming Mars and see how they work out. See if they improve my game any before thinking of the next side quest. And that's the fun thing about a side quest. It comes up as a surprise. You never know when it's going to happen.
Thank you so much for joining us and listening to the Level Up Board Game Podcast. We encourage you to check out our website at levelupgamepodcast.com. There you can submit your thoughts and opinions and your comments to be aired on a future episode. Please consider rating us on iTunes. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and join the Guild at Board Game Geek, Guild 3722. Remember, you can spend another evening on the sofa or you can get some friends together, get some adventures on the table, and level up.